June 27th, 2017, a SWAT from Pedro show. Watch for Pedro show. June 27th, 2017. I'm in Pedro, but not with Brother Matt. He's disposed because of the situation with the school stuff. But we hope to be with him again once soon. But I'm not entirely alone because through the magic of those engineers in Estonia, Skype, I've got Jeremy Emmert from Dallas, Texas. Welcome aboard, Jeremy.
Hey, thanks for having me, Watt. I appreciate it.
Okay. We started the show off with Song of the Underground Railroad from John Coltrane from his Africa Brass Sessions. And then Jeremy Emmert with his son, Liam, doing Incoherent Conquistadors. And I think this was just recently recorded.
Actually, I think that might have been. Yeah, I think we did that about 6 or 8 months ago. We do that all the time. That's one of our little bonding things as a father and son. We just jam sometimes and make noise.
Yeah.
That one turned out. We particularly liked that one, so we thought, man, we'll give it a name and stuff, you know.
Well, let's put you in Liam's shoes. What's your oldest musical recollection?
Oh man, I guess when I found my dad's old guitar, I suppose, in his closet. He had a guitar, just an old acoustic, and I used to just goof around with that. Didn't know anything about it, but was intrigued, you know, and it just kind of built from there.
What about other kind of musical experiences, like music in the house? So your pop was a player?
Oh, no, he wasn't. No, he just happened to have a guitar. I don't think that he ever learned how to play it. I don't even know how he came by it, but
okay.
But I think he had it from when he was like a teenager or something, and you know.
Were your mom and pop playing records and the radio or stuff like that?
Yeah.
You remember some of that stuff?
My dad was into country music, so he liked stuff like Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard and that sort of thing. And at the time, I hated it, you know. But now I've somewhat have an appreciation.
No, we're talking about the old days when you were a boy.
Okay. Yeah, is that what you mean?
Whoa, lost you. Hold on, people.
All right.
Okay, now. We had a little problem there, people, with bandwidth and internet traffic, and we lost them for a while, but Dallas Pedro connection has been restored. So when I'm talking music, I'm not talking about you taking an instrument. I know down the road that's what happened. I'm just talking about music in general, like stuff you're listening to. You say your pop's a country fan. What about in school? Did you do music in school?
Not until I was in college.
Oh, okay.
But when I was in high school, I played guitar and I was into music. Even younger than that, but as far
let's go back. Can you remember the first record that you bought? That was it for your parents?
Dead Kennedys and God We Trust.
Okay, how old were you?
12.
All right. How did you hear about Dead Kennedys?
Just through older kids that I knew from skateboarding.
Ah, okay. Skaters.
Yeah, man.
And probably fun to skate to, maybe. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Good tempo.
Yeah, at the time we lived in Bowie, Maryland. And there was a bunch of skater kids about my age. And then we would skate at this ditch, this drainage ditch. And a lot of older kids would skate too, and they'd bring their tapes and stuff. And so we'd listen. We learned all about Dead Kennedys, Butthole Surfers, and stuff.
Like Boombox. So you're talking about what, fifth, sixth grade?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So in grade school, there was no music program.
None that I was particularly inclined to want to be a part of. I guess at the time, you know, the options were. Probably, I take that back. I played trumpet for a year when I was maybe in third or fourth grade.
All right. Did you pick it?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to do saxophone, but saxophone was too expensive, so my parents could afford the trumpet. It was a cornet, actually, a smaller version of the trumpet.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I thought the cornet had more tubing. Anyway, isn't that Chuck? Yeah, Chuck Mangione, right? I remember when I was a teenager, he was big deal.
Is that a flugelhorn?
Ah, you might be right.
I don't know.
I'm lacking in the brass knowledge, even though we played some from Mr. Coltrane's Africa Brass Sessions. I got to bone up on that. So what made you stop trumpet?
I think we moved. We moved, and so I just at the where we moved to, I just didn't pick it back up.
Yeah, right. So then the new connect is with people your own age and skaters. And you had, as a boy, fooled around with your father's acoustic guitar. When did you take up the guitar?
Well, I guess when I was about 14 or 15, for Christmas, my brother and I, we got guitars, and my mom found a guy, this older teenager that would come to our house once in a while and show us a few things. And so I remember he showed me how to play power chords, and then I remember learning that Sex Pistols album, learning as many tunes on that as I could, and I thought that was a lot of fun.
Oh, so like your mom said, if I'm going to get you a guitar, you're going to have to take lessons. Was it like that?
Not so much. I wanted to take lessons.
Oh, okay. And plus, he's not showing you square stuff. He's showing you the whole Sex Pistol album. That's pretty hip. It's not Jingle Bells or, you know. Yeah. I remember dudes learning Jingle Bells on acoustic guitar. You know, it's so insane.
Yeah. Well, you know, I teach guitar. Sometimes I teach little kids, you know, and that's, you know, that's what they know. So
because it's got a strong melody, right?
Yeah, but if you're 12, that's not so cool, you know. But if you're 5, it's all right.
Look, I want to play something here called Mr. Banana Heels. Can you tell me about that?
It's just a tune I wrote. Mr. Banana Heels, I think of as just sort of like a clumsy person. And if you listen in the middle section, I kind of intentionally kind of flub up the rhythm a little bit and things like that, and it's sort of seems fitting for the melody, I suppose.
Okay, let's listen.
ブロックバスター映画のウェイトショーももうすぐ終わる。中華料理屋の王女に金のネックレスが光る。あの匂い、もしかしてゲランのオムイデアル。ドラッグストアの蛍光灯がまぶしい。ライチ中ソーダ割り。濃かったから。タピオカミルク砂糖 50% 氷なし。もっと向こうに まだ多分ある。みんないるけど誰もいない。見つからないトラック ID。寂しいけど誰も入れない。私が一番、世界で一番いい女。あなたのことはどうでもいい。ただ一緒に踊ってくれればそれで。まだ帰らない。もう帰れない。レオパードのスカート。ビジューのミュール。ラメのリップ。ガネーシャのネックレス。フープピアス。タトゥーはお預け。タクシー。黒塗り。デビッド・ボーイのレッツダンス。そこからトリップ。あれは確か、南国の霧雨。たぎる男。光る仏像。熱を帯びたままチェックイン。みんないるけど誰もいない。見つからないトラック ID。寂しいけど誰も入れない。私が一番、世界で一番いい女。あなたのことはどうでもいい。ただ一緒に踊ってくれればそれで。まだ帰らない。もう帰れない。
Thank you. on the side of your funk, I'm because the funny is up. See it come up, but it's hard to react. Tunnel vision at the guard of the back. Keep it running, you're my target to catch. Once in the back of love, start an obvious dash. Exasperated by landing tactics. Walls coming back, who's spinning with madness. Actors, added with possible factors. Company what, not in the life, and those are actors. Some stuff to send to your teacher. Seek out learning from the sense of media. Some shut down like a broken receiver. With levels up and up like a cyclopedia. Who's feeding the pieces together quick? Feeding and living thick from fears and heavy shit. Needs to let it slip, wish you'll never slip. Living the heavy fist, give it to make it flick. Disinjection, I'm for your more protection. Disinjection, I'm for your more protection. Disinjection, I'm for your more protection. Disinjection. Won't step on the zone into the margins. When we swipe at the road up in the carpets. No tracking the bone and dropping glasses. Can't get to you if we ain't creating carnage. Bump your head with the dread like a zeppelin. Leave this connect with the frenzy of adrenaline. Little one is bent on their pension, they're peddling. Just double your neck, never gonna let them in. Ain't taking the big strong to land. Have to come back some other time. Put the boss for the junk in the clan. Sucking ass getting shot in the side. Guns got at a time, breaths are nullified. Suck a laugh on the mind, you can cut the size. Put a gluttonous price, hold my lot of vice. No hiding, destructive crime. Disinjection, I'm for your own protection. Disinjection, I'm for your own protection. Disinjection, I'm for your own protection. Disinjection. Sit back, we're commencing the show. Take it in with your head and explode. Making sure you've been kept in the toes. Keep quiet till the end of the zone. It's a ride, you enjoy the thrill. We provide for your risk to kill. Can't deny it, what's the voice to feel. Put in the tires, it's the voice we spill. See underneath, clean your teeth. Clean pieces of meat, speak with the beast. Use the treats, giving the flower knowledge. It's a bit of solace, the cup is one of these elite. On the verge of collapse, smash sentences. Magic from the hat of flash pretensions. Telling the mass bit of the business. Setting tracks for a pattern is endless.
Where? And everyone claims to be out of
For Pedro Show, we heard Mr. Banana Heels, Jeremy Emmert. Those clams in the middle, people, that I've been notified they were intentional. Unlike mine. Okay. Matt Jones, after that brand new project he's got with DJ Honey Pants, Shinjuku 3 AM. Something brand new out of Tokyo from R04, Sunrise. I just did a collaboration with him, something called Kambawa. Euno after that, out of Roma, Italy. No One Else's Blues. Why Bot out of London, that's Willie, originally from Brooklyn. Injections. Chato Ghetto after that, brand new Monstrosity. Chris, brother Chris. Nervous Gender from the old days with Monsters. Yeah, something rung a bell in my head. I apologize for the sound. They're building an apartment next to me here. You wouldn't have this at the Love Grotto with Brother Matt because It's very peaceful there on Pleasure Point. But here there's, you hear that hammer?
Yeah.
Okay, Jeremy here. Yeah. All the way in Dallas, Jeremy's here. Okay, then I took your name, Sea of Infantry. I took your name. I think they're, Dutch dudes. And finally, Holly Reeve. Who's living in Glasgow these days? Holiday Snaps, brand new album now on the solo bass. So, okay, you get to learn some Sex Pistols. By this time, what kind of, do you have an acoustic guitar or an electric guitar?
No, I had an electric.
Okay, so you also got an amp too, right?
Yeah, nothing fancy, but yeah, a little amp.
Yeah. So you're jamming to records.
Sure.
Okay. Well, I'm because you know you're a composer now, so I'm interested. When did you start writing?
Oh man,
is that much further down the road?
No, man, almost immediately. Like when I found my dad's guitar when I didn't know how to play anything, I was just coming up with my own little riffs and things.
Well, what after you got schooled with the Steve Jones Sex Pistols guitar parts?
Yeah, well, you know that. Then I kind of learned how songs work. And, okay.
But you started writing, you continued to compose.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, at a very basic level, I guess you could say. And I had a friend who lived in the neighborhood, Chris Johnson. He and I, you know, he had a guitar too. And so he would show me stuff. I'd show him stuff. We'd try to figure out as much as we could and just had fun with it.
What about the band thing? Did you try that?
Yeah, but that wasn't until... really, after high school, okay. I had a couple of buddies. I had my friend Noah who played drums, and we would jam at his house and stuff. But nothing that ever came of anything really.
Okay.
But after high school, my first real thing I started doing, I suppose, was with acoustic guitar with a singer. Her name was Erin Ballard, Erin Dooley at the time, Erin Ballard now, and. That was the first time I ever actually did any kind of, like, performance, like a gig or something.
So you're, like, an accompanying singer?
Yeah.
Okay. What was your first gig? Tell us about it.
I think it was maybe, like, an open mic in Dallas at the place I think was called Chumley's? I don't know. It's not there anymore, but we wrote a handful of tunes ourselves, and we did that,
Now, what was that gig like? Was it scary?
Yeah, a little bit.
Or like what Watt likes to call them, pants shitters?
Yeah, a bit of a pants shitter.
Did you clam?
I'm sure I did.
Okay. I mean, my first gigs, actually, they still are pretty terrifying. But you got to get up, you got to do good people. I got to see Jeremy last month. In fact, Conk and his pad, we had a really good time. John and Terry show, playing with Meat Puppets and then going to Jeremy's pad and yeah, good rap. Had a good time. When did you start like playing in a combo, like with drummers and bass players and stuff like this?
Well, that same acoustic duo eventually evolved into a full band.
Okay.
And this was all like in the mid '90s, I suppose.
Okay.
And it didn't last too long, but it was fun while it did last. You know, the idea of being in a band, it was something that in high school I always wanted that. I always thought how cool it would be to be in a band and be able to play gigs, you know, because I love going to see bands play and it was fun to finally make that happen.
Right. But then, you'd like kind of get it in guitar seriously, right? You want to get educated on it.
Right.
So you go to school for it, right?
Eventually I did. Right out of high school, I tried to. I wasn't that good, you know, In school, to go to school for music, you gotta have some sort of level of proficiency on things like sight reading, music theory and that sort of thing, and I just didn't have it at the time. But
the big music school near you, it's in Denton, right?
That's right, yeah, UNT.
Right, good music school.
Oh yeah.
One time I even got to play on the campus, and I asked for paper for a set list, and they gave me the paper with staff lines, you know?
Yeah, sure.
I said, this is a music school here.
Right.
So you had to woodshed and get some proficient at some skills.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that took a little while, right?
It did. In fact, I had a kind of a dry spell. I ended up going to a school for like computers, and I worked in computers for a while, like an IT type job.
Sure.
And nothing against that type of work, but it just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
And so I, in my off time, you know, after school and stuff, I would practice as much as I could. Even in my lunch breaks, I would go down to my truck and I had what we call a real book.
Yeah.
For jazz music, and I would try
to opposite of a fake book, people.
Yeah, kind of like that. And I would just tap out rhythms, trying to get better at sight reading because I had a terrible sense of reading rhythms, you know,
sure.
And the melody thing.
Well, you're turning the little scribbles on the page into actual sounds and rhythms, yeah.
Sure.
What do you call that? It's a nomenclature. It's a way you can share with people. In the old days, you could imagine without recordings.
Mm-hmm.
The manuscripts were very important.
Yeah.
So you're boning up on this, and then you make the dive back into music school.
Yeah. I eventually got to where I was teaching enough lessons and doing some gigs.
Yeah. Let's talk about the lessons. How does that come about?
Just a kid in the neighborhood across the street. The family across the street, the Shells. You met him one time when you were here, Anthony. I don't know if you remember, real tall guy.
Okay, yeah.
He was my first student. He was young, and he wanted to learn how to play, and he didn't stick with it long, but that just one thing led to another. Before you knew it, I had, you know, a pretty good amount of students, and then it got to where I was like,
on purpose really didn't set out to do that, but it ended up happening.
Well, once I saw that some momentum was starting to build, I made big time efforts to really make it happen.
Okay, but you think you got some skills about being able to convey people, because it takes a certain kind of personality to teach people to have patience. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there's to be a teacher. I have a lot of respect for, you know, there's certain skills that maybe, you know, they're really good on that, whatever, instrument or device or paintbrush, but they don't have the skill to show other people. And you know what I'm saying? I think it's an art in itself, teaching. And I think we need them. I don't think everybody can do it. I don't think everybody can be good at it. But that doesn't mean we don't need them. So I'm always interested because, to me, it's a version of sharing. You know, when you bring somebody on board with music, and you show them how to put some stuff together. In a way, you're not painting the whole future for them. You're building them a launch pad, a springboard. You know what I'm saying? So they can take that and use it for their own personal expression. I think it's a great gift. And people with skills to do the teaching, because you notice, right, when you're especially somebody probably brand new, you can't be in a hurry.
Yeah, man. A lot of times the way I approach it is, I try to envision what my experiences were like as a student and how I would want a teacher to approach me.
Empathize. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man. Empathize. That's the word. Yeah.
That's a good thing.
But not everyone's gonna learn like me, but
of course.
But just to have the flexibility of, or just the awareness of that empathy, you know, and just try to accommodate different types of learners, you know.
Sure, right, because everybody's different. Everybody's come from another place, going somewhere else. Okay, so your music now has got another track. You're giving lessons, and you're going back to school to do this, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you think that teaching helped you?
Oh, yeah.
Not just the bones, yeah, but even in the music area.
Absolutely. I think if the more you teach something, the deeper you understand it, maybe.
Yeah, I think Buddha said something like that.
Okay, cool.
Something like that. They're kind of intertwined. Learning, teaching, they're kind of tangled up together.
Yeah, yeah. And now I'm to the point I've got students that when I during the lessons I'm learning, I'm practicing, you know, my own playing.
Sure.
Like
sure.
if we're practicing tunes and we're practicing improvising and things like that,
yeah.
You know. Sometimes we'll just pick a tune that neither of us know and we learn it together.
You know, that's bitching. And it's maybe less hierarchy, you know, top down, not so much of that, or more, yeah, kind of a common empathy, a kind of a shared experience.
Yeah.
Because I wonder how much you can always learn just having it beat into you, you know, with orders.
Yeah.
You know, there's enough of the world already set up like that.
Right, right.
And especially something expressive like the arts. So that's interesting. And this can happen with a new student even, right?
Oh, yeah.
Really bitching. Hey, I got the end of the first hour of the June 27, 2017 edition of Peter Show. Special guest Jeremy Emmert, Dallas. Hold tight for hour two. June 27, 2017. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Yeah. Thank you. Grand Rapids, Bytown, Midwestern hardwood and stainless steel reality. Tumbling thoughts dammed too many times, flowing over a toxic riverbed that can never be dredged. For the sake of plating our conscious and factory parts, we stack shiny metal, reflecting our diffident surroundings, our dirty enterprise, ridiculously immature thoughts. So, down the obnoxious strip that cuts the edge of town, with malls and all the same stores, comes tripping gently America's aging beat lover to sign his biography. My mother stands in line, a book proper for me. Graciously she stands while I kill myself in a warehouse. Kid in front holds up a baseball, regulation, for Allen Ginsberg to sign. He's got a collection, his father said. Allen pauses. He smiles and nods and signs, and there you have it, somewhere in Grand Rapids, the signed Ginsberg ball on its little official stand.
The seahole witnessed by design is going to laugh about it. The three ring circus, the box office smashed. The killing of the characters, fingerprints on flowers.
Watt for Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with A Sheet in the Wind's Eye. The Wind's Eye. Jeremy Emmert. Tell us, Jeremy, about that tune.
Oh, man. What can I say? I don't know. It's just something that kind of came to me.
Okay. What about the title?
The title is a reference to, you know, have you ever heard my mom's always had these funny sayings that she would say. One of them was three sheets to the wind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just a little borracho, right?
yeah. So this is kind of I think that stems from this saying, and I believe I think it's a nautical saying.
Okay, yeah. And in those days, sometimes the slang word for a sail is a sheet.
Yeah, and I've seen, I read something where, like the four corners of the sail.
Yeah.
That are the tie down, that what's holding it, connecting it to the boat or what have you, those
yes.
might be referred to as the sheets, and three sheets to the wind would be three of those corners being loose. So you imagine.
Yeah, it's just flapping around. It means you're fucked up, you're drunk. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and that, you know, just, I don't know, it seemed fitting for the tune, I thought.
Okay. I don't know. When you're composing, do you think of the title first, or is that last?
I think that comes last.
But in my case, when I write, I always start with titles because cool. It helps give me focus. But hardly anybody I've talked to does it that way. It's usually last.
Yeah.
So you're not alone. What? So you end up with the school thing.
Yeah. I went to when I finally went back to school after I quit my IT job and I spent some time just practicing and teaching and playing as many gigs as I could. Well, before I went back, I man, I practiced my butt off to learn how to play some solo jazz guitar, like to learn how to play some solo tunes so I could do gigs that way.
Sure. Man alone.
Exactly, yeah. I met a bass player, a really good bass player, and he told me if he was a guitar player, that's the first thing he would do is make sure he could play three sets of solo tunes so that you don't have to rely on anybody. You know, if you get a call for a gig at the last minute, you can do it.
Right. Yeah, very flexible.
Yeah, so that took me a while.
I forgot to tell what else we played to start off the second hour. There was a Pete Courtesy Phone and Kid Congo Powers doing In Flame, the Sludge Dub. Joe Brewer, Jack Brewer's cousin out of Madison. Allen Ginsberg's Baseball. And finally, Guided by Voices, The Laughing Closet. People hear something very fresh. Jeremy Emmert.
Thank you. somewhere under 5 miles. Like, that's the
thing. In the little jail.
The little jail.
Y'all risk your life. And we got people overseas.
David, where are you living at?
That are getting bombed.
Where are you living right now?
Well, sir, to be honest with you,
are you just a transient? Are you just going from
No, sir, I'm not a transient. I'm an American. And, I'm kind of happy the way I am because my old lady loves me.
Where are you living right now?
Well, sir, can I finish?
Answer my question. Where are you living
you
right now?
You asked me. I'm an answer. My old lady loves me for another man.
Okay.
And I'm unhappy. And I'm trying to find myself because I'm really upset. I'm really upset.
Okay, you didn't answer my question. I was asking where you're living. 4312.
I'm living on the road, boss.
So that's all you
have. I wish I could find a real woman, a real nice, pretty woman, even if she was fat.
I would take a fat woman as long as she would be honest to me and be as true to me. As long as I stay proper,
Locked for Pedro Show. My position has been struck by lightning. Jeremy Emmert. Then we heard Sputnik Trio with something live. Call My Wife at Home. They're out of Spain. Clay Chaplin. Brenda's Truthful Hanging. I think Echo Park here in SoCal. Or Silver Lake. Heather. Got to get some new music from you because it's incredible. And then finally, the Brendan Etter Ensemble. Highland Park, I remember. He gave me this personally after a gig I did there called Pastoral. Back to with Jeremy and his journey through music. So, okay, you're getting through the school stuff. You're learning how to do gigs by yourself. You've quit the pewter stuff. You're doing lessons. Take it from there.
All right. Well, then my son was born, and that was in 2008 when he was born. So during the day I got to be a stay-at-home dad because most of my work's in the evenings. So that was cool, but it just made me really feel inclined to go back and finish school, it doesn't take going to school to be a musician by any means. It just in my mind, it was sort of a personal goal as well as just something I wanted my son to see, but also increase the chances of just a livelihood. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Support him.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was born in 2008, and I went back. I guess when he was about three, my wife's job, she had gotten a different job and it was real flexible. So she could have some time at home with him, and that allowed me a couple of days a week to go back and take classes. So I went back to a school in Fort Worth called Texas Wesleyan and did their music program because having the family and all that, like North Texas, if there was not a clearly defined, degree plan, because there's not for me anyway, not for someone like me, like someone like the really top, like sight readers, top players and stuff, sure. But, this deal in Fort Worth was much more doable.
Okay.
And then what, yeah.
I didn't know what you're saying. You had to find a situation that was right for you.
Right.
Was there some teachers there that made a big difference?
Yeah.
Because like you were saying, like school, you don't have to go to school to be a musician, but it is a place where there are people with some knowledge and it can change your life, right?
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think some people got to understand about school. Yes. Yeah, so sometimes they're just institutions, but other times they're places where there's people who have knowledge that want to share it.
I agree, yeah.
It makes a big difference.
Yeah, in a weird way, though, it was, at the time, it was, as far as my musical abilities, in the moment, it felt like a step back just because of the burden of all the other classes and things you got to take that don't directly apply to your playing.
Sure.
But also I got to study with some really great players like Clint Strong and Lou Carfa, and the things that they were trying, you know, I could only absorb so much at that time, but later, you know, after school, then I was able to really sort of digest what they were trying to get me to do at the time. And so ultimately it was a big step forward in my abilities as a player.
Are you saying that stuff resonates through you still today?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So in a way, like life lessons.
Definitely.
Yeah. So much respect to both of those guys.
Absolutely, yeah. Great, great, great players, but also just real encouraging, you know?
Yeah.
Cool dudes, for sure, man.
Now, of course, part of the mission, besides learning the skills, It's finding your own voice.
Yeah.
Right? Like those guys, they got their ways of playing. And they probably don't want you to be copycat so much, but somehow encourage you to find your way, right?
Definitely. Absolutely.
Well,
yeah.
Was that tough? I've always thought, because, you know, I come from the place where you copied songs off records, and how were you supposed to ever get your own style if you were just always copying people? It was really a dilemma for me until the movement came, and then I just started writing songs for D. Boone. And not like those guys didn't show me anything off the records, but I couldn't continue to copy their parts.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. A big part of my my lessons with Lou and Clint, though, especially Lou, he had me transcribing solos, like Wes Montgomery solos and things like that, with the end goal of incorporating that into my own playing, you know, not so much just playing exactly that way, I guess, but maybe finding a way to, like you said, find your own voice, but those are just tools, like stepping stones to that end goal.
Insights.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you know, I love players like Mark Ribot.
Sure.
And Nels Klein.
Nels Klein.
Yeah, Mary Halverson, Ava Mendoza. What I'm doing with these tunes that I've written is sort of, I guess in hindsight, maybe was a bit inspired by some of the stuff that they kind of do, you know.
No, that's righteous. It's a second hour, June 27, 2017, Dish Wap Pedro Show, special guest, Jeremy Emmert. Hold tight, people, for hour three. June 27, 2017, it's the third hour of the Wap Pedro Show.
my memory's kind. A blurry like a VHS. If we fought last night, I can't remember anything he said. Just the sound of your voice and a ringing. We'll be right back.
cuenta de las penas. A tanta gent has fet patir. Ningú té por pas ja de tu. Tothom vol veure't ben morir.
Ich liebte eine Rose, sie war so wunderschön. Als der Sturmwind tobte, da hat sie mich gesehen. Sie griff in meine Jacke und fragte, willst du mit? Sagte nichts und sie lachte und nahm mich einfach mit. Ihr Blick war tränennass, so wunderschön. Thank you.
But it's been so long since I've been home. Lord, it's been so long. I've been so alone. I'm gonna make it home. I'm gonna find my love. We're gonna make that peace. Be back in love. I seen you one day walking down the street. Lord, I fell in love. Fell in love. And now I know just what I want. Baby, want your love. I want your love.
Watch for Pedro show. Started the third hour off with Sleep Wobbles, Jeremy Emmert. Pale Angels with Slow Jangle. That's, speaking of skaters, you know, I had Jamie from Pale Angels on the show the last edition, and he told me about, like, yeah. If you're going to swim, did you listen to that? If you're going to swim, if you're going to skate swimming pools, don't do it in the dark. He broke both his arms. Arms. And then his face, he had to stop himself with his face.
Oh. Yeah. Man, hey, you know my friend Klaus?
Yeah.
Not too long ago, I don't know if he wants me talking about that. The other day, riding his bike, man, ran into a car.
Oh.
200 stitches in his face.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that. Klaus, please heal up quick, Klaus, please.
Yeah.
Man, watch it, people. Well, Jamie's advice was don't go skating pools with no lights.
Oh, man.
He's a big man. I mean, this guy, you know, he's tall. He's 6'4", something like that. Oh, man. Anyway, we had Drenge from Sheffield after that with The Woods. And Murnau B. out of Barcelona. La Viuda Torla Ori. Kim Bowman Kessner, Berlin. With Roseline. And some stuff from Bloodshot. Chi-Town. Haha Tonka Heart. All with you. Scott H. Burham. Feel So Wrong. And finally, Luke Winslow King with I'm Glad Trouble Don't Last Always. So, where are you right now, music-wise?
Music-wise? Man, I've just been doing these, writing these solo tunes, just trying to practice as much as I can. And Klaus and I have been trying to work on some stuff, you know. He's a great tenor sax player.
Yeah.
And he's doing some real trippy stuff with effects pedals. He sends his mouthpiece or whatever it is off to this guy somewhere who installed a pickup in it, like a microphone.
Yeah.
And he runs that through all sorts of stuff, man. It's pretty wild.
So, wait, you guys are thinking of duets?
Yeah. If nothing else, we're hoping we could find a drummer and a bass player.
Well, I asked Jeremy because I'm going to play something here, because for a couple of years you were doing this band called Heirs of Metabolism. I played some music on the show. And actually we got to share stage with you in Dallas there, in Deep Elm Club Dada. But that unit fell apart, right?
Not entirely. You know, our drummer bailed on us, but John Newberry.
In fact, that's an interesting story I think people should hear about. This guy bails... like before the gig.
Yeah.
I mean, this is lame ass people. There's nothing wrong with giving notice and shit, but you don't cut out right before the gig. Here, you tell him, Jeremy.
Well, that's what happened. I don't want to talk bad about the guy because But anyway, it was our turn to play, and it was time to get set up, and as we're putting our gear up on stage, he decides, man, I just don't want to do this anymore. can you wait about an hour?
But what you guys do, you ended up doing an album, right?
Yeah, we did.
Like I said, I played a lot of songs, and I like the band. Pretty good. Man. But, you know, there's about music, right? You can practice, you can work on. Personalities, that's a little tougher. So I want to play the Astronomers versus the Astrologists. Heirs of Metabolism.
You've been the feeling, shaking. we're the bad machine.
Thank you.
city of death. How did things come to this? You who touch my thigh.
Watch for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Errors of Metabolism with Astronomers versus the Astrologists. Kind of like what's going on now. Then we had The Stain doing Blood Red live. Ah, here's a, something live. Was this gig in Dallas? It's the Bad Machine. And would you come on stage and play guitar as a guest?
Yeah, man, it was really cool.
Tune called Beat Grinder.
Yeah, Caesar, Eva, and Anthony.
Yeah, people, Caesar and Anthony, this Eva, these are Pedro people. I guess they were on tour and they stayed at your pad?
Yeah, they stayed for 3 days, 3 nights.
All right.
And one night they had off, and so we just had a great time hanging out, and then the other two nights we did gigs together. You know, Arizona Metabolism opened for them.
Okay.
One in Denton, and then that one that where that recording was in Fort Worth. At 1919 Hemp Hill, I think is the name.
Okay.
Sort of a DIY punk place.
But people might not notice this, but or realize this, but Fort Worth also was the home of Caravan of Dreams, Ornette Coleman.
That's right, man.
Yeah. I don't think people know that. You know, people get all cliched and stereotyped in their mind. Gotta let go, people. We had Mechanized Death from Exterminators. That was produced by Chris Kirkwood. Me puppets. You got to see us play together last month.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Cool. In fact, the whole Kirkwood family and Shandon. Non-relative Shandon on the drums. And Senor Al after that with Mama Get the Blues Liquor. And Nels Klein from his Lovers double album, Cry, Want. Instrumental. From San Antonio guys, Fluffer Union. What's that? Sox Tex. Yeah, that's Greg Smith and a great label. Who's he singing for? Hickoids and Gay Sportscasters. Good scene down there. I hadn't played so many years, you know, since Taco Land. And finally, Grandpa's Ghost with City of Piss, a prelude out of St. Louis. I got to see one of those guys last month, too, that came over by the river. Jeremy, if somebody getting into music brand new asked you for advice, what would you say?
Oh, man, I'd say go for it. Why not? What do you got to lose?
Well, I can't read mine, so I have to ask you, okay?
What's that now?
I ask you because I can't read mine, so I had to have you, I had to ask you.
Yeah.
Because I try to ask a lot of people about advice because I think people, they don't know how wide open it is, that everybody can do it their own way.
That's right. Yeah, man. Yeah, it just depends on what your goal is. What do you want out of it? Do you want to make a living out of it? Do you want to just have a band that you can, just as a creative outlet, something like that, any involvement in music, I would advise to anyone, I think just part of the human experience,
That's bitching. And you are a great example of applying yourself to it, doing the focus, getting it together. Much respect for you. And, much success at realizing these new tunes you're writing. And also all the knowledge that you're spreading with these cats taking the lessons from you. That's a great gift. Thank you so much, Jeremy, for being on the show today. Truly.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, man.
Okay. It's been the June 27, 2017 edition of the Rock for Pedro Show with my guest, Jeremy Emmert. People, everyone out there, keep your powder dry.